Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Generation Y ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible, starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia of being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
How you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm doing okay.
Awesome. So we're taking a little bit of a break from Murder and Mayhem tonight. We're doing something a little different. We're talking about a mystery, unsolved to some, maybe a cryptozoology kind of thing. What are we talking about tonight, Aaron?
Kind of. Well, this is, if you were to rank the quote-unquote cryptids that exist. And a cryptid is simply an animal that is not proven by science. So it's you could state that a cryptid is an animal that exists anecdotally. So we have a strange picture. We have mysterious video. We have stories of people who have seen things. So just the same thing as in line with our Bigfoot, the Loch Ness monster and other lake monsters are not proven, but they make for good tourism. And tonight we'll be going over the evidence, and I suppose we're going to try and determine what we think is happening here, because lake monsters aren't in one or two lakes. I mean, there are, I don't know, what kind of count did you see? Are we talking 100 different lakes, or is it 30? How many would you imagine?
Let me pull up my GLMD.
You're that so proud of this website.
My Global Lake Monster Database.
You make it sound like it's the IMDb of lake monsters.
Well, it is. Just right on the front page, we have probably 20 lakes listed across the world. Some of the categories are like lakes in South America. So that would probably, that one category could probably be, you know, another 20, 30 lakes. So we got a lot of lakes here and a lot of monsters living in these lakes. We're really kind of focused on Loch Ness, but we can bounce around a little bit, because all of the, maybe somebody would disagree, but most of these websites and theories about these lakes and monsters kind of coincide with each other. They all sort of follow the same storyline, and the monsters living in these lakes typically are generally described as a serpent-like creature or something with a very long neck at the least.
Right. Well, in all of these cases, people say they have seen things, and there's some evidence for some of these things that we can go over, but I would say the vast majority of lake monsters out there are purely people have seen things. But there's not a lot of photographs or anything for many of these. Even when you go out to these websites, there's a handful of lake monsters that seem to have a collection of evidence that you can look over, but the vast majority are just mentions.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. I guess you could say 1933. I mean, sightings happen of these creatures, and folklore goes back further, but 1933, the Daily Mail hires Marmaduke Wetherall, a big game hunter, to hunt Nessie, to hunt the Loch Ness monster, to document it, to capture it, to get some piece of evidence for it. At that time, a highway had been built by the Loch, and there was a lot of sightings, more sightings than usual after the highway was built, because obviously there's more people there. And he finds some footprints on the side of the shoreline, and they're very large footprints, tracks. And he determines that a creature that must have stood, you know, 20 feet tall walked through here. It was later found out that either the Daily Mail or somebody had put the footprints there using a dried out hippo's foot. And this was confirmed by a museum and other places. And they ridiculed the Duke for saying that there was a monster or dinosaur or something that was walking around the lake. The Duke gets with another guy, Colonel Wilson, and they decide to exact their revenge on the Daily Mail, right?
Well, that's one story. This is, for anyone who's looked at this photograph and determined that the creature in it looks rather small, and there are various reasons for this. Mostly it has to do with the ripples in the water, I suppose. But yes, it's said that this was a hoax, and it was created because of the embarrassment of the hippo foot scandal.
They pretty much build this little, they take like a toy submarine that's like a foot long, and they put what looks to be like a dinosaur, the top part of a brontosaurus, some would say, schooner it out into the lake, and they take a photo of it, and they bring that photo back to the Daily Mail, and it goes viral for the time. Now, here's where you get into the debate. Is this photo real or fake? I think it looks tiny. I think it looks like it's about 1 foot tall and 1 foot long, and the little ripples in the water kind of dictate that. And for anyone that's seen the picture, I hope that you've seen the full-blown picture, not just the cropped image. So you see the entire lake that they took a picture of, and then you see this tiny little head popping out of the water, and it's really hard to see, actually.
This surgeon's photograph isn't the only one. There's a second image taken of the loch. And from what I understand, there's it took about 4 minutes to take four pictures or so. The second image looks different. It looks like it might be the same quote-unquote creature, but it's in a different position. So there's been debate about this. Like, does it show that the creature is lowering its head? What is it doing? It even looks like the water around it is different. Looks almost like different weather even. Yeah. When I looked at the second image, it looked to me like it fits the story. Because according to the hoax story, this creature that they built sunk soon after taking its picture. If you look at the second image, it looks like it's toppling over. That's what it looks like to me.
It's so hard to tell. One, a still image, you can make a photo say and do anything you want. That's the magic of it. Also, in water, it's really hard to get depth. It's really hard to get pretty much sizing, especially when the lake is so large. This lake was, I think it's almost 25 miles long. I mean, it's just huge. So I get that the lake is so big that maybe if there's an animal that lives in that lake, you might not see it every day, but it's hard to tell how big this thing is, but it looks small, especially when you look at the wakes and the water and the ripples. It looks tiny to me. And I would expect that if it was a 5 foot long neck, the waves and wakes around it would be a little, it'd be more proportionate to the size. They take this photo and it goes viral. Everyone's freaking out about it. Now sightings of Nessie go up, of course, because they've seen it. So now it's okay for other people to see it. That seems to be the commonplace thing that happens when somebody sees a UFO or Bigfoot or whatever, then sightings go up. Now people that believe in it will say, well, now just more people are comfortable with confessing to what they saw and not understanding what they saw. Whereas I would say that might give them an outlet to popularity or somebody listening to them, or just they get their 15 seconds of fame saying, I saw this.
As part of the hoax, supposedly, it was about the construction of it. And this is where some of the debate occurs, is there are people out there who don't believe that someone could have built this little submarine and this head in the neck and had it stay up for any amount of time. Now, certainly you could say if it toppled over within a couple of minutes, well, or I guess it would be more fair to say 4 minutes, then it didn't stay up very long. But there are people who don't think it would have stood up very even that long. And so there are questions about its construction. Now, they say that there's this plastic wood material. And for a while, it seemed as though that was the knife in the back of the hoax, meaning, well, they didn't have it back then. But then some people did some more digging, and they found out that it was starting to be used as early as 1928, and someone actually found an advertisement for it. So that material, it was readily available. And of course, the other problem is there have been recreations of the surgeon's photograph, but no one's really done an exact replica, meaning same materials. That gives wiggle room for people who say, oh, well, no one's proved it. You haven't proved that you could fake this. Now, people have constructed things out of, say, styrofoam, and they've made various sizes and taken various images using the correct angle, which I believe is 19 degrees, and trying to show whether or not this was possible, or showing whether it was just 1 foot high or 4 foot high or even larger. So it seems like it's kind of a wash there. No one's perfectly recreated it, and you have people who are for and against the hoax idea who have different results using different sized Nessies, little Nessies on submarines.
I saw two groups of photographers, one do a 4 foot tall kind of post in the water that was far away, and then do a 1 foot tall post in the water that was very close. And then another group do essentially the same thing, tried to recreate the original photo. And then these two groups get into an argument over whether or not their photo looks more like the original or not. And they can't even agree on it. But then again, how was the weather that day? How was the water current that day? How was the wind that day? I mean, there's so many different factors. You can never correctly take the same exact photo with something in the lake. It's just not going to look exactly the same because you have too many elements and factors involved. And I found toy submarines from the 1930s, so they do exist. They're really cool too.
Yeah, they say that the submarine was purchased from Woolworths.
Yeah.
And that the head and the neck was created over the course of so many weeks. And like I said, it supposedly it had sunk within about 4 minutes. And it makes sense to me. If you look at the second photograph, it looks like it's just toppling over to me. So that's the most popular image is the surgeon's photograph. We should say that the year before, there was supposed photographic evidence of Nessie, and it was taken by Hugh Gray. It didn't take long for people to look at this and say, what is that? Wait a minute, is that a dog? And certainly if you look at the image, it sort of looks like there's a nose and there's an eye and an ear. I don't know if you see that when you look at the image, but...
Like most images of cryptids, they're all fuzzy. They're all taken from far away. There's never a good high-def framed image of anything. It's never a clear shot. Yeah, I don't know what I see in that photo, really.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting that if you look at this, and I believe that Hugh Gray said that it was more of a tail that he saw, that he felt like the rest of the animal was underwater at this point. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the image in the surgeon's photograph, and then you compare it with the earliest records, there is some dispute there because the surgeon's photograph shows what looks to be a dinosaur of some kind. And then the earliest recordings of people going back much earlier almost make it sound like a giant salamander. But you could chalk this up to people, different people seeing the same thing might take it a different way and might relate it to something completely different.
So the surgeon's photo resembles more of a dinosaur. What dinosaur would that be?
Well, that's just it. If you look up plesiosaur, which is what everyone seems to classically think this is, to me, it doesn't really look like a plesiosaur. Well,
Aaron, come on. It's got a long neck. It's got a head. It's got a bulbous body. How can that not look like a plesiosaur?
Yeah, well, for one, plesiosaurs would not rear their neck and head up like that because it would be impossible unless it was dead and taxidermied to look like that.
So they can only pretty much bring their head up kind of parallel with their body, or they can curl it down under, but they can't bring it up like a swan, is what you're saying?
Right.
That's just not the way they move.
Yeah, it's like saying you can do what's done in the Exorcist film and you can turn your head all the way around. Well, that's a nice idea, but it's just not possible if you want to stay alive.
That's kind of my problem is a lot of the claims are a serpent-like creature, which a plesiosaur is not a serpent-like creature at all. Its neck is long, but that's it. But you have a huge body that goes behind that. You have flippers. You have a tail. The neck isn't going to create ridges. It's like that old pirate sea monster sort of image of two or three humps in the water of like this serpent kind of gliding through. That's not how this animal swam. So it just doesn't match up with the description. you can say that you can see the back of its body kind of crest the water. That's possible, but it's never going to be a serpent-like creature to me. It just doesn't match up at all.
It doesn't look like anything really to me. It looks like someone's idea of what something would look like who wasn't educated. In this day and age, we can just get on Google and type in Elasmosaurus and look that creature up and say, well, I think that its face would be larger.
Yeah.
That being said, if we want to go with the dinosaur idea, it does look more like an Apatosaurus or something like that. It doesn't look like a plesiosaur, but going on this idea that there's some aquatic dinosaur in the water, we could go over some of the other issues that exist with there being a large creature in Loch Ness.
Oh yeah, let's dive into this. From what I read, the lake was created by a fault line and some glacier melt that happened, millions of years ago. Now, whether or not this lake was created at the same time that the plesiosaur was around is kind of up for debate, but let's just take it for what it is and say that this lake was formed at the same time that this animal was around. And let's say that this location was where this animal hung out at. So perfect conditions, right? It's two mountainous areas colliding together, and then they form this crevasse, essentially, which is the lake. It's very long. It's very deep. But because of this, it's really cut off from any other major waterway. And there is a lot of runoff from the surrounding land. And this runoff is rocks and dirt, and it collects in the lake, and it's pretty much called peat, correct? It's this sort of sediment that's always turning in the lake. It totally hinders visibility. So I watched one video where these guys dropped this item down from a boat, and it was a perfect sunny day, and they could see this white, shiny disc go maybe a little over 20, possibly 30 feet before they totally lost sight of it. And that's from the top of the lake, surface of the water down. So possibly 20 to 30 feet in perfect conditions. But when you go into the water, deep in the water, or to the lake bed, what's the visibility there?
Well, it just gets worse and worse. Because of the peat in the water just is so dark. They say at times you might be able to get 4 inches, but I would imagine it's, if there's something deep in the water, getting an image deep in the water would be impossible.
Well, this is perfect camouflage for a monster that's considered the size of a small bus, right?
Well, it's at least 1 foot high.
So you have this large creature that most say is a carnivore, a meat eater. Let's take this on that he's a meat-eating dinosaur. Because of the peat in the water, there is simply no plant growth at the bottom of the lake because not enough light can get there. Very little vegetation, very little ecosystem happening in this lake, which means there is very little life in this lake. There's not a lot of fish. There's not a lot of anything. So what's this bus-sized dinosaur going to eat?
Yeah, it seems like a good question. It's not just a matter of food, though, because some people would say, well, there's so much fish that goes through there on a monthly basis that maybe it could make it. But there's one thing I've noticed over time reading up on their theories. They seem to forget one thing, and that is breeding population.
Yeah.
So a lake monster would need 90 or probably at least 100 creatures of the species living in this area to maintain its population. And if they're plesiosaurs, they're going to need oxygen. It's going to need to come up for air. If it needs to come up every hour, hour and a half or so, if you have people watching the lock looking for something to surface, you would think that we would see these things all the time, but we don't.
Haven't they done that?
Yeah, many years ago, around the time of the photographs, the early photographs were taken, some men were paid to stay and watch the lock. Yeah, that didn't last very long. The men got bored because they didn't see anything.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements. I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better, notice things like your hair and your nails feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
And how many expeditions have there been to find this creature since then?
Oh, wow. Well, it'd probably be more fair to say what large expeditions have been undertaken to look for it. We've already said that there doesn't seem to be a breeding population. Food is scarce. There's just many reasons why it would seem unlikely that something's there. But let's just say, hey, you've got to find it. Maybe we just don't see it. There could be other reasons why these other things don't factor in. But in 1987, there was Operation Deep Scan. Mm-hmm. And they took a fleet of 24 boats, sonar equipment, and they, over the course of 3 days, they scanned the entire lock.
That costs a lot of money.
If I remember correctly, there was the sonar company was doing this as a promotional thing too. So I think they got some promotion out of it. Now, there was something that they scanned, and they said it was larger than a shark, but smaller than a whale. So possibly a larger fish, possibly a very much larger fish, it says, possibly something that would ultimately be compatible with the concept of monster. And so, well, there is something going on in Loch Ness, is what was said. And the person saying that was Adrian Shine. And he's been one of these guys that's really wanted to answer the question of whether this creature exists or not. You know, he seems to be a little open-minded. He says something like that the contacts that they saw could have been seals and that seals could have found their way. But it's kind of a common thing. People will say, well, Greenland shark could make its way in there, eels. So there are lots of different creatures, they say. But again, as we go on, the creature changes. It's even been said, oh, it could be otters. So how do we go from a giant salamander to a plesiosaur to seals to sharks to eels. They're all pretty different, are they not?
Yeah. And sonar is, yes, you can detect things underwater. Sonar is pretty cool. But at the same time, it's at that time, sonar, if there was a school of fish, the sonar would bounce off that entire school of fish, and that school of fish would look like a large object. There's also things called thermals, where there's different water temperatures, which can give blooms or show a large object when it's really just a mass of water that has a different density because of temperature. So there's lots of different anomalies that can happen with sonar. And every time somebody takes their boat out there and sees something and then says, oh, well, now it's gone, so it must have been a huge dinosaur that was swimming underneath my boat, now we got Loch Ness Monster.
The water is very dark, so as the waves move on, sometimes they look like they could be serpents moving through the water.
And there's, and water plays a trick on people. I've seen a lot of YouTube videos and photographs and whatnot of people saying, look at this object swimming through the water. Look at this weird snake creature or whatever. And when you look at it, the current is going against the thing, whatever that thing is. Sometimes it's a stationary log, but it gives the illusion that it's swimming forward because the water is going against it. Kind of like when you're sitting in your car and the guy next to you is slowly creeping forward and you get that feeling that you're actually going in reverse because you see that guy moving forward. It's the same concept. And this happens in water. It's hard to describe until you see it, but objects aren't always moving at the rate you think they are because there's water currents going the opposite way. And I've seen multiple people with footage of an object in the water, and they're like, that thing must be going 10 miles per hour. But without the shoreline or the horizon or some other fixed object to kind of scale off of, you have no idea if that thing's even moving at all.
There continues to be people who have sightings. I think I saw that the number is about 20 sightings a year. People claim to see things. And then even with our satellite technologies, Google Maps and Apple Maps have both captured something strange on the lock. What did the Google Map show?
It looked like logs. It was a bunch of masses, but they were kind of jagged and squarish, and they were really close together, not resembling anything of an animal or organic-like creature. By the way, Apple and Google are two of the most rich companies on the planet. And if they're looking for a big bus-sized creature in a 20-mile radius, they're going to find it because they can find anything else on the planet, right?
I don't know. This creature has avoided detection very well for the past 80 years or so, has it not?
Yeah, well.
It's almost like it knows when people are looking for it, and it goes down to the deep part of the lock, the 814-foot deep area that's known as Nessie's Lair, and just hides out until the attention passes.
And there's also rivers that either feed in or out of the lock. And some people say that Nessie swims down these rivers and can come back. And he goes out and hunts for food and comes back. Well, if that's the case, then why are we scanning a 20-mile-long lake? Why don't we just set up traps at all the inlets and outlets of the lake and catch them? Did anyone think of that?
That's still a large undertaking, too, unless you can narrow down perhaps two or three that are likely.
Large enough. Yeah, large enough for a bus to drive through.
Yeah, the Apple Maps one is interesting because when you look at it from above, it looks like a type of shark or something. People have actually looked at the image and they've discovered something interesting. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at this image, but there actually is a boat there. Mm-hmm. And what they say is that when they convert the image to a lower resolution for the internet, that the boat sort of gets lost.
The details are lost, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've actually seen other images of it, and there's clearly a boat there. And of course, I don't know how much of a big deal it was when this came out, but it's kind of a neat picture. It does look like a large aquatic creature.
But it doesn't look like a dinosaur at all.
No, not at all. Well, again, I would say that when people are looking for evidence of something in the loch, they'll take anything. Mm-hmm. If it looks like a very long serpent, they'll take that. If it looks like a dinosaur, they'll take that. If it looks like a giant crocodile or a giant eel, they're going to take that too. It's anything that would prove that there is a very large creature in the loch. They'll take it.
Another question I have is, Loch Ness is not the only lake there. There's Loch Lochy, there's Loch Garry, but nobody reports anything in those other ones. They only report it at Loch Ness. I have a problem with that because some of these lakes actually do connect to Loch Ness. So if he is swimming out to forage for food, he could swim out to these other water masses and be there, but nobody ever reports those. And highways go past all of these lakes. So also these lochs are very cold. The water's not very warm. Now they're warm enough that they don't freeze over most of the time in the winter, but if this is a dinosaur, then it's a reptile. It's cold-blooded. I don't think it's going to survive very long in frigid water.
Well, true. One of the interesting things about this loch, I think, is that they say that back in the day that there was this old wives' tale, and parents would tell their children to stay away from the loch because there was a beast that lived in it, and it would transform itself into a horse when it was ready to feed, and it would wait for someone to climb on its back, and then it would gallop all the way into the loch and eat its victim there.
Why a horse?
Oh, come on. Everyone loves horses. It just says, ride, you know, get on my back and ride me. It'll be fun.
But it's not carnivorous. I don't know.
Well, we don't know, do we? Besides, this was an old wives' tale. Think about it like this. If it's an old wives' tale, it's not about the truth. It's about teaching kids a lesson without having them pay for it. So you'd say,
stay away
from the loch. They don't want the kids falling into the loch. I mean, it makes sense to me.
So let's review. There's not enough sunlight in the lake to produce plant life. So therefore, if this creature is a plant eater, it's not eating anything. Due to the lack of plant life, there's no other animals there. So there's not a lot of meat for it to eat either. Even if you have monthly fish coming through, this thing's got to eat, you know, 20-30% of its body weight, and it's the size of a bus. That's just not going to work. Then you take in breeding size, so you have to have a family, multiple families, otherwise it's just going to inbreed and look like a horse, I guess. Also, the water's too cold. So,
well, true, but I would say there's one more piece of evidence that we have to talk about before we leave Loch Ness.
Okay.
There's a man named Tim Dinsdale, and in 1960, he filmed what some believe is the Loch Ness Monster swimming across the loch. Have you seen this video?
I think I have, and it looked like wakes, like a wave to me.
So I watched the video, I'd say about 4 or 5 times, and to me, I see something moving in the water. And it changes direction, and of course, it seems like it goes under the water. I could not get any sort of idea on how large this object was. I mean, it could have just been a beaver.
Yeah,
I have no idea. But looking at it, it just didn't. It didn't look like what everyone describes, unless you have this idea that just the hump sticks out of the water all the time. What's the point of the hump sticking out of the water? I mean, is that where its nostrils are? This is where you get into, you know, some people have said that this is an ancient whale because there was a species of whale that was a long-necked whale. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. So perhaps it just needs the hump out of the water, huh?
But now we're not talking about a dinosaur.
That's right. It could be a whale. Well, it could be a whale. It could be a whale that becomes a horse to eat its victims as a whale once the horse gets into the water. Well, I don't know. There are many ideas here. I'm not saying that Dinsdale thought it was a whale, but going off of the quality of the film or lack thereof, I don't see how anybody could make a determination based on this. But what I will say is that this is considered possibly the best evidence for Nessie. This is a simple conclusion because if the surgeon's photograph has been shown to be a hoax, then this is the next best thing, right?
How many years passed between these two pieces of evidence?
Oh, 26 years?
Yeah. How what's the lifespan of this animal? Or is this its baby?
Yeah, who knows? What I love is that people have analyzed this film and people say that they can tell that it's a boat. In defense of cryptozoologists who don't believe it's a boat, I agree. I don't see how anybody could tell this just from the video. Now, you can go off of other evidence. That's fine. I get that. They can measure it and they can determine how fast it goes, I suppose, and use that. But I mean, just looking at the video, your impression of the video, it doesn't tell me anything. I wish it did. I wish I could sit here and say, that's a boat. Well, it might be, but I've seen the stills. I've watched the video and I've looked at the stills again. I have no idea, but I don't sit there and go, ooh, that looks like a sea monster or a lake monster. Otherwise, it's pretty cool. I mean, it doesn't look very aggressive and it's just kind of swimming along. There's Dr. Robert Rhines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Notes on it.
He's like strobe cameras and he would take
stroboscopic.
Yeah, stroboscopic cameras, and they would take pictures every, 45 seconds?
Yeah, some interval.
Yeah, there's an interval going on, and he captured some really interesting images. There was a diamond-shaped flipper that looked about 6 foot long. That got people's attention. They're like, well, could that be from a plesiosaurus? And there was another image that looked like the face of Nessie, of the beast. And it's known as the gargoyle head. So if you want to see it, just search for gargoyle head Loch Ness.
But on the flipper one, they changed the resolution or changed the contrast on the photo. And all of a sudden, the flipper loses a lot of its definition. And it's possible that it could have been peat or other substances in the water that just happened to form in that kind of a way.
When you don't really know what you're looking at, things can, well, we've said it before, it's pareidolia. You look for something, you'll find it. Objects can look like things that you're familiar with. And out of these images that Dr. Robert Rhines took, they look very interesting. I enjoy looking at them. Once you have people who have taken other video of that same area, you can actually see what these things are. And it sort of takes away from the claim that these are images of Nessie. Like there's one that looks like, it's the body and the long neck of the plesiosaur, but it's actually just a tree stump. It's kind of sad. I mean, you look at it and you think, that could be a plesiosaur, but yeah, it's a tree stump. So if you want to see some cool underwater images of a tree stump, then look up Dr. Rhines, R-I-N-E-S. See what images he found in 1975. So what were we saying? It was Nessie was a giant salamander, was a plesiosaur, and possibly a tree stump.
I don't know how this thing persists.
We knocked it down in different ways. You know.
Yeah.
The only way you can add to this is go over more detail, like the museums. One thing that should be noted is that this helps tourism. It puts you on the map. I believe that Loch Ness gets 1 million visitors a year. Is that right?
Well, Duck Dynasty went there.
Well, I'm sure that helps too, right? Yeah. Get a bunch of guys out there dropping TNT into the water.
Well, and that's just it, is Roswell, New Mexico, whatever it is, without the story, that's a dead town. Sad as it is, it's just another town that's a drive-through, you know.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Some of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? If you need to squeeze a special thing into your schedule, do you even know what's important to you and how to make that a priority? Well, with therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it. We all need to vent sometimes. We all need to talk about some of the things that have happened to us. And I'll tell you right now, your friends might be sick of hearing about it. So take the burden off them. Let a professional help you. Sometimes it's as simple as just getting something off your back and letting somebody else know so you can feel validated and move on with your life. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GenY today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GenY. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Quince. Do you need to upgrade your wardrobe or home essentials at an unbeatable price? Well, Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style, and you'll have them in your closet forever. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% off less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that are safe, ethical, with responsible manufacturing practices. Along with premium fabrics and finishes, how can you not love that? I recently got a duvet cover and a pair of awesome relaxed jeans. They're stretchy too. You can find all kinds of stuff at Quince. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/GenY for free shipping on your first order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/GenY to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/GenY.
It's just another town that's not on the highway, so nobody's going to go there. And I'm not trying to knock small towns. I've lived in them, but it's just, if there's no reason to go there, then unless you live there or have family there, nobody's going to go there unless there's something cool to see or think about experiencing.
Well, yeah, chalk another one up for Loch Ness, because I've heard it said that they don't even perpetuate the story of Nessie in an insincere manner. What they do is they understand that Scotland is a very cool place to visit. You're not going to go over there, not see the creature and have a bad time. They have nothing to lose. They can say, hey, yeah, there's probably nothing there. There's still so many cool things to do in Scotland that you will not have wasted a trip looking for a lake monster.
So we have monsters in other lakes, though. It's not just Loch Ness, correct?
That's right. There's some pretty famous creatures, especially in North America, is where some of the most famous ones are.
Now, the one I was actually kind of fixated on was the Bear Lake Monster in Utah. Essentially, it's Loch Ness of Utah. I mean, it's the same concept. My issue is if Loch Ness was created so many millions of years ago by, you know, a fault line and glacier melt, which locked in a marine faring animal from the time, what's the explanation for Bear Lake? How did this big bus-sized dinosaur get landlocked there? Or most of the other lakes that they say these things exist in?
Well, that's where the lock has an advantage, right? Never mind the fact that the plesiosaur is supposed to have been long dead at that point. But again, like you said, if you give them the benefit of the doubt and say that somehow it had survived and got in there, that's something the lock has over the other ones. Think about it this way. The Loch Ness Monster is still the big daddy of lake monsters.
and it's still the big daddy of cryptozoology.
I would say that the biggest cryptid is Bigfoot, but the Loch Ness Monster's, I'd say, number two.
The same problem I had with Bigfoot, where people would say, oh, here's a photo or here's footage of Bigfoot, and they describe Bigfoot as a 5 to 6 foot tall humanoid that stands upright. And then I would see photos of things that look like monkeys, and they'd be like, oh, this is Bigfoot. And then I would see a big thing that looks like a bear, and they say, this is Bigfoot. And they claim they're both Bigfoot, even though they look nothing alike. And here we are with Loch Ness. I'm being shown wakes. I'm being shown big serpent and salamander things. And I'm being told that all of these things are the same lake monster. And none of them look anything alike.
Well, again, proof of something is proof of everything. Another one is Lake Champlain. And they have their own lake monster. And it's known as Champ.
Yeah, Champ is a large serpent, right? At this point, I've watched the videos. I've seen what people say is Champ. And, of course, all the photos and all the videos look different. There was the one video that looks kind of like either a long limb or a snake or something along the side, of the boat. I can't tell if that was something that was edited or if it's just something in the lake that got sucked under. It doesn't look like an animal to me.
Well, it was first spotted, I suppose, in 1609 when Samuel de Champlain wrote that he saw it. He's describing it just like what you're saying. It's like a serpent. And it's about 5 feet long. But what I found interesting is that he says that it has scales a dagger could not penetrate. Like, did he attack this thing? I mean, how does he know a dagger can't penetrate the scales?
No idea.
I feel like we're missing the rest of the story here. And at 5 foot long, it's, I don't know. You can put your champ up against a catfish that exists in America somewhere. I'm going to go with the catfish. I think the catfish will eat champ. So I wouldn't put any of our catfish up against your champ because the champ would get eaten up. What do you think?
Yeah. What's the pogo one? Ogopogo?
Well, consulting with the GLMD, as you put it, right? Ogopogo. Yes. Anyway, this is actually, I would say out of all the lake monsters, this one's the coolest. Ogopogo.
Yeah.
British Columbia, I know we have listeners out that way. Lake Okanagan. Another neat thing about this place is the depth. It's really deep. They say it's over 1,200 feet deep, which is much deeper than Loch Ness. They say it spreads over a length of 80 miles. If you look up Ogopogo, it's said to have a head like a horse. And of course, a long neck, humps, webbed feet, and a whip-like tail.
The tail is supposed to be over 40 feet long.
That sounds dangerous, man.
This thing's bigger than a bus.
It's that big, huh?
You know, back in the 1980s and earlier, they were saying that it was over 40 feet long. But then there was another sighting in 2000 where they say he's only 12 foot long. So maybe this is a baby Ogopogo.
So again, one of the things that can lend credence to whether these lake monsters exist or not is history. What they say is that local Canadian Indian legends talk about a creature that would demand a sacrifice from travelers for safe passage across Lake Okanagan. And so whenever they'd have to go across the lake, they had to bring chickens and other animals to, they'd kill them and they'd put them in the water. And then Ogopogo would allow, well, I say Ogopogo, but that's not what the Indians called it. I could butcher the name. Night. Yeah. Something like that. But we'll just call it Ogopogo. And they dropped the animal into the lake after killing it. And then they were free to move across. Because I'll tell you what, if you don't feed that creature and it has a 40-foot tail, yeah, I don't think you're making it across the lake, right?
We do this today. It's called a toll road.
Yeah. Do you think that the people back then, since it was like a toll road, do you think they didn't think much of it? And they're like, all right, pay the toll here and we'll move along.
The sad part is nobody was collecting the dead chicken. So it was just a waste. If there was some guy standing on the shoreline, you know, asking what your favorite color was or your, you know, the flight speed of a bird, something like that, and he would collect the dead chicken and use it for his family, hey, then good on him. But if they're just dumping a dead chicken in the water, well, that's just sad because poor chicken, you know? I mean,
they have a video. What do you think about the video?
What do you think?
I think it's a creature. It doesn't look like a lake monster, though. It doesn't look like something that would demand chickens for safe passage. It looks like something just playing around in the water. I couldn't even hazard a guess of what it is. I know that people have guessed. Some people, they look at it and they say, well, that looks like it could be a beaver. And, you know, that's possible. I think where this takes place, sure, why not a beaver? Maybe a beaver is having fun out there. That'll work for me.
So somebody could confuse a beaver and over a 40-foot long serpent.
No, actually, I don't think they could. Again, I think when you look at this, you don't get the sense that this creature's even 15 feet long. It just looks to be something you can't identify. So you just lump it in as, oh, I saw something on the lake. And then it's like, oh, maybe it's Ogopogo. But there's other creatures they say it might be. It could be a sturgeon or oarfish or a manatee or even a prehistoric whale. Yes, that comes up again. So you have to explain the humps somehow. And what better to have humps than a whale, right?
The GLMD page. There's even a link to report a sighting. So if you guys see things, you can go out to this website and report what you saw, upload pictures.
What's the website?
The website is actually lakedragons.livingdinos.com, but ooh, I call it the GLMD.
Yeah.
Global Lake Monster Database. It's great. So we've been talking about lake monsters and monsters living in rivers and lakes and whatever. There are very real monsters that live in bodies of water, especially rivers and lakes. I would consider, you know, if you've never seen an alligator gar, or what they call down in the South, a gator gar, this is a fish that can get up to 200 pounds, over 7 foot long. It's this huge, ugly fish that literally has the head and the beak of an alligator. Have these things literally in their backyard bayou. This thing is monstrous. Now, does it attack people? Not really, but if you look at it, it looks like a monster. To me, it does. The first time I saw a picture of it, I didn't believe it. I was like, that's not real. And then they're like, no, this is a thing, Justin. I was almost skeptical at first, but then I realized, no, this is really a animal that lives down in the South and people hunt it, bow hunt it. There's also probably what I would consider the worst lake monster or river monster is the Asian carp. And this is a fish and it can grow. Most of the time they average around 40 pounds, but the size and whatever differs. But they brought these Asian carp. They're actually from Asia. And they brought them in to eat algae out of pools where they would have fish, farm fish, whatever. And to clean out the pools, they would bring in these Asian carp because they can eat up to 40% of their body weight in a day. Flooding, natural disaster happens, and these Asian carp escaped these fishing pools and are now in our aqueducts, in our rivers, in our everything. And they're slowly going through and just destroying the ecosystem of our rivers and lakes because they spawn like rabbits, and there's hundreds, if not thousands of them. And when you ride your boat down the river, they jump out of the water. Hundreds of them just jump out all around your boat, and they'll hit you in the face. You can kill these things outright. The laws are like, kill as many as you want. We got to get these things out of here. Go out and watch a YouTube video and just type in Asian carp invasion, and you'll see something that is just mind blowing. These fish have just destroyed our ecosystem. I just wonder why people spend so much time on Loch Ness or a pretty much a fantastical monster that is so elusive that nobody's actually seen or captured it in over 80 years. Yet we have very real monsters living amongst us and we don't pay any attention to them. They're not interesting enough because it's not a big reptile or some kind of serpentine animal, right?
Well, it's more exciting to discover than to cover. Do you know what I mean? So people are on the hunt for these lake monsters, hoping that they'll be the one to get the perfect image or the video that really convinces people there's something there.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.